Lord, we thank you for that song. The song the angels sing too, but we sing it better. Lord, we are the redeemed. We are the ones that are being brought through great tribulation. And even now, whilst on the earth, are still part of that heavenly throng that no man can number. Clothed in white robes, rejoicing. I thank you, we are in Christ. We're seated above, we're raised up with Christ. We're appointed to rule and reign in the earth. And yet, Lord, just as Jerusalem with its walls and temple was rebuilt in times of great struggle and distress, so you appoint also that no one who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus avoids pain and tribulation. But as the apostle said, it is through much tribulation that we enter the kingdom of God. This is because, O Lord, you are perfecting the saints, even as you perfected your own Son through suffering and obedience. That is, you perfected his obedience in going to the cross for us, for men and women, boys and girls, for us and for our salvation. We thank you. We are the redeemed of the Lord. Your word says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And so we confess with our mouths, the Lord Jesus is ruler of all. We confess. We bless your name. Help us today, Lord, be all the more established in the word and the spirit and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we honor. And we all say, amen. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's what Holy Scripture says. All of you may as well say so right now. Just thank the Lord. Father, we thank you. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We thank you for the blood of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for everybody. Thank you one and all. I need two chairs. Somebody help me rearrange the furniture. And we're going to spend a few minutes chatting with friends. And thank you, Shema. One right there, and that's mine. I claim this one, and one right here. And the first of my guests today is none. Tony, if you could, we'll park this off to one side, just over the back here. The first of my guests today is none other than Janine Carriage. Janine, welcome to the platform, everybody. Big round of applause for Janine. Hello, Janine. I gave you a few hours' notice. I texted Janine last night, actually. Right over there, that's your side. Now, in case you didn't know, this is Janine Carriage, and Janine's been in this church a long time. We need a microphone, Janine. Who's got the thing? That's over here. Hazel, thank you. And so, Janine, how long have you been in the church?
I joined the church in 1993.
Just give her a bit of beef. We get that across there. 1993, she said. So we're talking 23 years already and counting. And I have, may as well tell you, but for a long time, I have regarded Janine as one of the saints of the Lord, absolutely clear in faith. Her faith, resilient and shining. Despite all the difficulties of life, Janine knows the Lord, walks with God. And from time to time, she gives me a word, thinks she's hearing the Lord saying, and it's as good as anything you get. And so I thank the Lord, Janine, for your faith. So anyway, when did you come to know the Lord?
I was 10 years old when I was first saved.
Yeah.
And then probably walked with him in some capacity until I was about 15, and then we moved cities, and it probably wasn't until I was about 25, and I'd had two children, that I started to feel the call of the Lord bringing me back.
Mm.
And That was probably about 1985.
Okay. Is Janine loud enough for everybody? Okay. Yeah. Just, I can't always tell from up here. Okay. So at 25 years old, you felt the Lord calling you back to a closer walk with him,
sure.
Even though you'd known him since you were 10.
Yes.
So when did you first become aware, you know, of the Holy Spirit really at work in your life?
Well, it probably wasn't until after I was baptised. I first was saved in a Salvation Army church, and then when we moved, I found I was in an Anglican church, and it was more just in the programs there rather than faith and walking and praying and those things. And it was when I lost my son Curtis in 1992 that I really felt the Lord drawing me back, and I was looking for a church, and I did go church hopping for 6 months with a dear friend who was helping me at that stage. And I found myself in the tent on Norman Road.
Right.
When I walked in there, it was like I'd come home. It was family. And Judy and David were there, and I'd known them from way back. And, it was just wonderful from then. And then I spent a lot of time with John and Kathy Payne, who helped me and were like spiritual parents to me. And I got baptised, and it was from then that I believe the Spirit of God was in me. And like I said in my text, I've never had really powerful experiences, but just more a real tenderness of the Lord. And when John texted me to think about what I would say today about the Holy Spirit, the word that came straight to me was comfort. And that's what I've always felt, is the comfort of the Lord through the Holy Spirit, right through. And it was probably there in my childhood. I'm one of nine, and I'm the only one in my family who's saved. And that has been a struggle in itself. And I'm now married with five sons and a daughter, and my daughter's the only one walking with the Lord. So that is another struggle. And I just keep trusting the Lord and just looking for that comfort, which is always there. So it's comfort. That's the great thing. And I have been really seeking the Lord in the last few years. I was reading a couple of years ago in the Bible one morning about how Jesus went out, and John touched on this a couple of weeks ago, about being full of the Holy Spirit when he went out for the 40 days after he was baptised. But he came back in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's what I'm really been desiring in my life, is to be able to walk and understand the power of the Holy Spirit and how that applies and how we can apply it to our lives.
Yeah, Janine, it's not too unusual that Christians who are doing really well and growing receive a lot of grace in certain areas while other areas laid dormant, and yet you can open them up. And this is what we've been talking about the last few weeks, the various aspects of the baptism of the Spirit, all of which need to be alive in us. That is, it's a baptism of power, it's a baptism of love, and it's a baptism that brings the spirit of holiness, self-discipline, and all of those things are needed. You've shown a great deal of resilience in terms of love and faith and seeking the Lord and walking with God, and it would never be true to say you're not full of the Holy Spirit. It's very evident you are full of the Holy Spirit, and yet Janine recognizes there are other aspects of the work of the Spirit that she still needs to see, to pray into and seek and open up, like all of us. But your persistence in walking with the Lord and believing is a wonderful thing, Janine. And, you know, there have been times when, you've been in circumstances, I thought, you know, some people would be just crushed and bowed down and like their faith would be low. But your faith has never wavered, nor you're seeking the Lord or hearing his word. And anyways, you've been encouraged because you've got some great highlights, you know. But what Janine is highlighting is the long-term grace that builds and builds and builds in somebody's life when they genuinely walk with God. And when you were baptized, you were released into the life of the Spirit. How do you pray? What's your, you know, what's your daily or weekly or just your kind of constant approach to it?
The last few years, I've been woken by the Lord a lot through the night, from any time from 1 o'clock on, and I usually resist for a while, but then get up and start to pray, and then go back to sleep. But I usually listen. I get a cup of tea and I listen, and until my cup of tea's gone, that's my listening time. Then I read either the word for today and scriptures, and then I listen again and pray. Usually things for my family and then things that you've requested for us to pray. And then I wait again until the household comes to life. And then, but there's other times through the day when it's quiet that I like to just get alone with the Lord and just, I do a lot of listening, yes.
But see, this is why she's full of faith. And this is why she's resilient, no matter what happens, steadfast. And that actually is a grace that we're called to. We are all called to actually live those kinds of lives, to be steadfast, to be resilient. But only by choosing to walk in the grace of God do we find that. And you know, there's this regular prayer, seeking His face. It's amazing what builds up. And then I've been amazed from time to time at the words that you get. In fact, you sent me one this week. I'll share a little bit of that in a minute. But you've been a huge blessing. Did you notice Janine said a minute ago that in amongst all this listening and praying, she also prays for whatever I've asked the church to pray for? Now, let me let you tell you the truth, everybody. When you send out an email, this is the world now, not just our emails, world statistics, what's the percentage? I don't know, Jonathan, David, Philip, tell me. Of the average percentage of emails that are actually opened and read by somebody when 16, is it? I'm not talking our ministry or Christian emails in particular. What is it? I'm surprised if it's as high as 16. I would have thought it would be 11 or 10. But let me just tell you that when some really important, say, organization, even a mission organization, sends out a really important piece of mission news or a call to prayer, probably about 10% of the people bother opening the email and reading it. In other words, most emails just blipped off. Our church percentage is a bit higher, and I think our statistic is 28%. You think, marvellous, we're doing twice as good as anybody else. However, when a prayer request is made in church on a Sunday and we say, look, here's something really important, you know, it's prayer for the city or prayer for this mission or prayer for sending someone out, we always have some people who will remember that in prayer, but my guess is it's easily forgotten by most people. I understand that. It's easy to forget most things. But Janine is somebody who hears these things, makes a note of them, incorporates them in a prayer, and guess what? Just a simple discipline in life like that helps to give her the strength of faith she has, the steadfastness that the Lord loves, and consequently, every now and again, she'll hear something of an order or of a quality that goes beyond what most people get simply because they're not paying attention. Anyway, Janine, thank you for that. No, it's good. No, we're not quite done. Because I think you're a wonderful example of somebody who has walked in the Lord and constantly has been built up in the Holy Spirit all these years, and yet, like the rest of us, there's more, right? Jesus said, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask, which means we keep seeking. We lay hands on you today and believe for release of power into your life, greater grace, a greater giftedness. But here's somebody who actually is very gifted in hearing the word of the Lord and getting prophecy. So you wouldn't say that the baptism of the Spirit was not at work. Now I'm just going to find this thing she sent me here. Now this is typical of Janine's responses and her praying over things that were announced as needs. So here we go. She says, hi, dear John. Now, this is a bit unusual because I get dear John letters and I get hi, John letters, and here's a hi, dear John. Not sure what that means, Janine, or maybe it was at 1 a.m. and you're half asleep, right? She says, a few thoughts to share with you that have come to me during my prayers for you over the past couple of weeks for your consideration. Now, you know, this is this warfare period we're on, trying to bring greater freedom to the city. Okay. She says, the verse from Isaiah 59, 19, quote, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Most people have heard this verse, right? As I pondered this, it is the word standard that stood out to me. So I began to seek the Lord for understanding as to how to apply this. A standard is a banner, a distinguishing mark, a signal, a warning. Now, banner, I understood to be one of the names of the Lord Jesus. The Lord is my banner. So I began to pray that the Spirit of the Lord would lift up a standard over you, your family, your ministry, and your possessions. And as I sought the Lord for more understanding, I began to see it is the Spirit who lifts up the standard, and that it is not the... Now, here, she began to see this for herself, and I'm going to tell you something about the Scripture in a minute. She says, I began to see, as she was praying, that it is not the enemy that comes like a flood, but the Lord's power that is the flood to push back the enemy. Now, let me pause right there. That verse, I read it again, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, comma, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Almost everybody who comments on this scripture, you can go to all the books you like, they'll all tell you the same thing. The verse is wrong. It's not what the Hebrew is about at all. The enemy is not the flood. The Lord is the flood. And it should be read more like, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Lord will. Right? That's the proper way to read the verse. And in fact, Hebrews, a very ancient language and can be hard to translate and has all kinds of interesting roots, and there's no point getting complicated here, but there's another entire Hebrew root that would tell us the enemy doesn't even get mentioned in this verse. He's in, if you read the whole paragraph, he's there, all right. The Lord's dealing with something, but he doesn't actually get mentioned in this verse at all. And the verse is really describing the Lord himself, that is the Messiah coming like a pent-up flood, that the breath of the Lord is rushing along. And it's fantastic stuff. Now, you didn't know any of this, but still she said that's what she began to see. And she goes on. She says here, concerning floods now, she was thinking other things, but now that she gets this about floods, she said, I've been reading Genesis 7 this morning, pondering the flood and how God used it to wipe out every living thing and cleanse the earth of evil using a natural flood. And I believe we need to ask the Lord for a spiritual flood to defeat the powers of darkness that are coming against you at this time. I went looking and found a couple of blogs, which probably better explains what I'm sensing, so I'll attach them. And so she sent them to me too. And sure enough, that word flood, the word in that verse is the Hebrew word nahar. And guess what it means? It means God's great waters, God's running water. Anyway, lovely stuff. Anyway, Janine. Janine has raised a point here. There has been, in this last 2 months, since I began praying for the city and the region, it's like a... We've seen things free up, good things happen. We've seen lives get free, but we've seen some other stuff too. And it's almost like, fairly quickly, a whole lot of stuff from a lot of directions was trying to push back. It's like we were fighting an enemy and he was fighting back. So it's a genuine battle. And I think Janine's right. There's a build-up of demonic forces that don't like what's going on here, and we should be praying for the flood of the Lord just to come through and wash right through. And I actually think that's a real option. And I'd like to encourage you to do it. So now I'm going to read you. Alex, are you sitting around that machine back there? Give us Isaiah 59. Now, Janine has quoted verse 19. But let's look for verse 17 to 24 verses, so two before, one after. Can we put them up? Put up two and then two or something? I want everyone to see the passage, because all I'm going to do is leave it with you and ask you to start praying this way. All right? We move on then. Here's the passage that the two verses that are prior to the one Janine's talking about. And look at what he says. He put on, now this is talking about the Messiah. This is talking about the Lord Jesus. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. Hey, what is this reminding us of? We're told in the New Testament to put this on ourselves. Why? Because we are supposed to wear the armor of Christ. Long before, nearly a millennia before, we are told this is Christ's armor. That's obviously where Paul got it from. So, Christ put this on, but look what else he put on. He put on the garments of vengeance, and he wrapped himself in zeal. And then, according to what they've done, so will he repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He'll repay the islands their due. Okay, this is about him coming in, fully armored, fully zealous, boom. And this is, we're about to find in the next verse, this reference to a flood. Now here's a modern translation of the verse, verse 19, and you'll find it doesn't refer to the enemy coming in at all. From the west, people will fear the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun, they'll revere his glory. For here it is, for he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins. Listen, what does it tell us? A couple of weeks, and it was last Sunday, with regard to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we put the emphasis on the need to repent of our sins. If you want more of the Holy Spirit, you deal with your sins, the things you failed to do, and so on. So, time before the Lord. Now, this says that this pent-up flood, it's not a flood that's coming, it says it's He is coming. He's coming, like it's like this, it's like a tidal wave. That the breath of the Lord is the word of God, drives along. But he's going to come to those, that is, comes to you and me, who repent of our sins. Anyway, all lovely stuff. Janine, I think we need to pray for you. Tony, just come here for a minute, stand next to Janine. I'm going to ask the whole church to pray for Janine. You've prayed a lot for this church, Janine, and Janine has had some of the words over the years that have been the greatest encouragement to us. Just stand right there, and Tony, lay your hands on Janine. Let the whole church pray for her blessing now, and let us believe for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit with power. Janine, the Lord said very clearly, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And Father, I thank you for the promise. I thank you took a hold of Janine really fully when she was baptized into Christ. And ever since, she's had your Holy Spirit. She's had the Word of God, and she's been full of faith. And she's been full of love, and I thank you for Janine, and I bless her in Jesus' name. But now clothe her with righteousness all the more. Clothe her with power and with the Holy Spirit. I'm asking from this time a great anointing resting on her. Lord, the opening up of a heart and a mind. Fill her with the Holy Spirit. Baptize her with your power and your love. With multiple baptisms of grace, may the Lord favor her. And from this time on, favor her family all the more. She's in covenant love. I declare that whole family is subject to covenant love. And I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Janine. God bless you. And yeah, let's give Janine a hand. Now, our brother Chai is sitting right over there, pondering all these things. But Jay, pondering time is over, and we're not going to spend as long with you because you didn't send me a word this week. Anyway, Jay has not been a Christian for very long now, maybe 2 years?
Just over 2 years.
Yeah, that's right. Get the ice cream up. Pretty hot. Okay. Yeah, 2 years. And Jay was ungodly. And he just happened to find himself here one night when the youth were here and we had a visiting team and evangelists, right?
Yep.
And stuff was going on. Holy Spirit was moving amongst the people. And some people were getting bowled over by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Che dug his heels in. And he was cynical about it. No, 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 this is nothing. Next minute, boom. Anyway, what happened then? What did the Lord do?
I was sitting at the back, John, and Josh convinced me to go up and get some prayer.
A bit of that twisted arm up the back,
yep.
Kind of evangelism, right?
Yeah. And Mark Sainz prayed for me. I didn't think anything was going to happen. I mean, I saw all these things happening on the front. And like you said, I was very cynical. Whatnot. But then the Holy Spirit came on me. He led me in the sinner's prayer, and I fell down. And at first, the first feeling I had was just a fear. It was frightening. And then as it went on, I was just filled with his love. And when I got up afterwards, I was just filled with, I felt I was emptied, and I felt light, refreshed.
Oh, so by empty you meant like something had gone,
I literally, physically, I felt lighter, and I just had a love for the people around me that I'd never had before. It was a really beautiful thing, and it changed my life.
Mm. Yeah. They cast a demon out of you too, didn't they?
Yep.
Was that at the same time?
Yep, it was, yeah.
And that might have made things feel better.
It might have.
Yeah. So you got well and truly born again, right? You came alive to God.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what began to happen after that?
Suddenly
you were aware of God in a way you weren't before.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Well, I had my faith was concrete. I had this experience happen. There was no way I could deny God's existence. I knew there was a God. He loved me, having this thing that has happened, like I didn't know what to do. Just felt like what happens now? But in fellowship with other believers and growing over time, an opportunity started to open up in life, but I mean, there's still a lot of work God has to do in me. I'm still a baby,
but here you are 2 years down the track, and you're solid in the faith. I mean, you know the Lord.
Yeah.
So in that 2 years, something must have gone on. Like, you must have chosen to walk with God.
Yeah.
So you must have chosen to pray and read your Bible. What do you do?
Yeah. It hasn't been consistent like Janine. It's wavering. But there are times when it's very strong, and there's times where it's not.
But you haven't shifted in your love for the Lord.
No.
I mean, it's astounding. No, every time I see you, it's so obvious. You just know the Lord.
Yeah.
And your heart's in it.
Yeah.
Your heart has never turned aside.
No, but it's the daily discipline. I'm still, going.
Yeah, well, everybody has that little struggle, right? Yeah. There wouldn't be a person here is anybody here that hasn't had that struggle? Or is there anyone willing to say, you've found it real easy from day one? No. Just, what do we call that? Does anybody know what we call that? It's overcoming the flesh, isn't it? Jesus said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? So all of a sudden you've got this new heart, and that doesn't waver. You just know the Lord. Your heart always belongs to him. You never take your heart away, but you have these other struggles. And so what has to go on is a renewing of the mind. That, by the way, is probably one of the most important things there is, the renewing of the mind. So that you end up having the mind of the Lord. You end up having a properly biblical worldview, a transformed mind. And the Bible says that when you have this renewed mind, you actually find it easy to know what the will of God is. You find it hold it easy to hear his voice. And so he takes you through these levels of grace. So this whole process, it has a name too.
Sanctification?
Yeah, sanctification. That's right. And this goes on all your life. And see, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. So we've been talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is where the Lord comes in power, makes a big change. But sanctification is that ongoing work of the Holy Spirit where he's constantly teaching you, but you're cooperating. That's the whole thing. You've got to cooperate with him so that you become more disciplined. And then the fruit of that, this is the astounding thing. Nobody likes discipline. But the fruit of it, that is what comes out of it, is astounding. Anyway, you're in this process. I mean, here's someone got well and truly clobbered by the Lord, life totally changed. So where do you think you're at in the baptism of the Spirit? You've had some, you want more, or you've had it all, it's all ahead of you?
Well, I haven't had it all, that's for sure. I want more. I've never had the same power as what I initially had, but I want more of that seeking God. But I think God is doing a more permanent work, John, maturing. But as you've been saying the last few weeks, and actually David said that, I mean, not like the experiences of God that we've had so far, don't limit ourselves to that. And just desiring and hungering, being hungry for more, is where I'm at now with the Lord. Yeah.
He made a comment that he doesn't have as much power as he did at first. But let me qualify that. He doesn't have any less than he had at first. It only feels to him like it's less. Because what happens is the Lord hasn't taken anything away, but once he establishes you in the faith and that amount of strength, he then exposes you to other needs in life, or he'll show you other weaknesses you have in your own life that makes you feel powerless. But it's actually to cause you then to address that thing or pray for power to overcome this thing. It's actually part of it. And feeling like, oh, I'm not where I was or I need more, that's actually designed to get you hungry. It's actually designed to cause you to go and seek the Lord, you know? What did Jesus say? Shut your door and seek the Lord alone, you know, and then the Father who sees you praying alone, he'll reward you in public. So now it's all an encouragement. Now, one other point. Jesus, when Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I mean, he was really filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says that the whole of the Godhead the whole of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. I mean, that's really full of the Holy Spirit. However, he then went into the desert for 40 days of temptation. So his first experience of being full of the Holy Spirit was this in the desert, fasting, praying, and the devil coming and tempting him. I mean, this sounds like new life, right? No, there was a reason for this. Jesus had 40 days of prayer and fasting after he got baptized in the Spirit. Why? It was actually to make something of it. A lot of people get baptized in the Holy Spirit and they think, well, this is it. But actually, it's not yet fully matured, not yet fully formed. And they're just satisfied with that and they go living on their life. No, Jesus, after he's baptized in the Spirit, spends 40 days seeking the face of God, resisting temptations all the while. And the result is, you'll find the result in Luke 4. The beginning of Luke 4, it says he went into the desert full of the Holy Spirit. And then some verses later it says he came back out of the desert he came out of the desert in the power of the Spirit. So he transformed the whole thing. And he didn't begin his public ministry, until he took his baptism of the Spirit and with 40 days of prayer came to a place where he was walking in the power of it. It's all pretty astounding. Anyway, it's all for you. Yep, the Lord has a heap more for you. And it's wonderful. So, Che, thank you. Let's all pray for Che. Tony, come back again. Come and lay your hand on Che. And everybody, we're going to believe for his ongoing usefulness to the Lord. He has plans for you, mate. The Apostle Paul is an interesting example because he was a person. I mean, just imagine this. You take a guy that the Bible says, he's so angry. I mean, he's zealous to the point of just anger, hating. It says he was breathing out murder. That's how wild he was to arrest Christians, killed Christians. This guy has a lot of blood on his hands, breaking up families, you know, ruining lives. And this is the guy that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, I want you, you're mine. And knocks him down, takes away, blinds him. You know, I mean, here's the Pharisee of the Pharisees. You talk about a religious guy, absolutely blinds him for 3 days. Why? To show him that he's just a blind man. And he spent those 3 days in prayer, but he came out totally transformed. See, when the Lord wants to, he can get a hold of his worst enemies. Anyway, he got a hold of you. The Bible says you are the enemy of God too. He makes his enemies friends. And I'm glad he got a hold of me. So that's hope for everybody here, right? Let's pray for Che, the whole church. Father, thank you for Che. I thank you for all that's in him. I thank you the Word of God is in him. The Word of God is in Che. Lord, would you open his understanding, open the eye of his understanding, open his heart, fill him with the Holy Spirit, and grant him great grace to be very articulate in a profound and a powerful way for the Word of God in this world. I bless him. The church blesses him. Lord, baptize him in the Holy Spirit. Add to him and grant him grace to walk in the high places with the Lord. We bless him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jay, bless you. Yeah, it's good. I'm glad to have you in the body of Christ, Jay. And I am sure that it's the Word of God that's going to really bear fruit in you. I think every day, just read it. Take a bit in every day, because the Holy Spirit, he has a way of building it deep down in, building something in there you didn't even know what's going on. But that's a work of power too. Now bless you, Jay. And now, friends, in closing, I wanted to make basically just one point. And then we go to prayer. And that point was this. If you're hungry for the Holy Spirit, and a lot of people are here, many people have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and moved in gifts of the Spirit. And many people here are prayerful and they're witnesses for Christ and so on and so forth. And we've known a rich fellowship and many blessings over the years. But I know that a host of us are hungry now for even more of the Lord than we've ever known. That's a wonderful thing. In the last few weeks, we've been looking at what are these component parts of making, of finding more of the Holy Spirit. And we've covered, you know, key things. One we said was hunger, being really, really hungry for God. The people who are hungry for God tend to get more from God. We talked about faith, coming to that place where you've prayed the thing through, coming to the faith place where you believe, and it opens up grace. And we talked about other things, but one of the things we touched on was what we called last week and the week before consecration. Consecration is your complete surrender. Not just your surrender, but the dedication of everything you have and all your plans, your days, all your hopes, the whole lot put in his hands. Consecration. Without full consecration, you really can't get a hold of the greatest measure of actually what he wants to give you all the while. Now, just thinking about that, here's two component parts of consecration. One is yielding. There are people who pray for more of God, but something in them will not yield. There's some stubbornness, there's some self-will, some selfishness, some view of life that puts them in the middle, holds out on God. They're unwilling to yield. But most people find when they come to that place of being willing to yield to the Lord, the power and grace of God just floods in. So yieldedness, super important. And hand in hand with that, doing the will of God. That is making up your mind once and for all, that if you're going to be a real Christian, if you're going to be genuinely a disciple of the Lord Jesus, it means obedience to the Lord. In fact, it was Peter and John who said to the Sanhedrin in around about Acts chapter 4 or 5, They said to the Sanhedrin that the Holy Spirit was given to those who obey God. Obedience. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. I read you a verse or two on this subject. Of Jesus, although He was a son, He learned obedience from what He suffered and once made perfect. In other words, Jesus was the perfect Son of God, but because it was the will of God for Him to suffer and die for man, it was only in that obedience that He was totally perfected as our great high priest. And as ultimately to be a son means to be one with the Father. Jesus had to not just be willing to obey, but actually obey to be a perfect son. The Apostle John said, "We receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him." And in Revelation chapter 3, John is quoting Jesus. And Jesus says, "Remember what you've received and heard and obey it and repent." And which brings us to this verse that I need to remind you of, where Jesus made a comment in Matthew 7. He said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." See, there are many people who call Him Lord. Now, if they call Him Lord, you'd say, well, we're talking about Christians. So in other words, there are many Christians who say, "I'm a Christian." There are many Christians who say, "I love God." There are many who will refer to Jesus as the Lord. But Jesus is saying, not everyone who does this will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. In other words, has your life been genuinely changed? See, we're not saying you have to be perfect. Chai is not perfect in his obedience to the Lord, but his heart has really become the Lord and he wants to obey. Same with Janine. Her obedience is not perfect, neither is mine. But our hearts were changed. That is, our hearts really do belong to him and we want to obey. That's the big difference. We want to. We want to know the Lord. We want to walk with God. And they are the people who really are the servants of God. And so on and so forth. Anyway, enough of that. There are many, many other scriptures that can illustrate that. But enough for today is to say your heart has to really want to obey the Lord. You're looking for the grace by which you please God. That's yieldedness. You're looking to concentrate who you are and what you have to Him. That's a very important key to finding more of the Holy Spirit. So on that point, let's spend a few moments in prayer. I'm going to invite the musicians to come, and I'm going to invite anyone who would like to receive prayer today, anybody who would like to receive the laying on of hands for more of the Holy Spirit. The church prayed with me to anoint Amanda today for leadership of that cell. If you're wanting prayer because you need an anointing for something, it might be that you need grace for your business or grace to be a mum or a dad or grace for your studies. Now, it's not like we can't have these prayers on lots of other weeks, but if you're feeling that burning need today or that hunger, there's always more grace available. All of these things are anointings that are in the Holy Spirit. Next Sunday, we pray for Philip to be anointed for the ministry, for ordination. It's all part of it. The riches that come to us in the Holy Spirit. Anyway, we're going to begin to sing. And if you'd like laying on of hands today because you're seeking more of the Lord, just come. And I'm going to need some help. You'll need some help from others. We'll pray for each other. We'll activate, numerous people so that we can get everybody prayed for. And these are good times, very good times, when the church together in prayer is seeking the Lord. How about before that we pray another prayer together? Why don't we take a moment to take up Janine's point here? Janine said we should be praying for the Lord to come like a flood and kind of wash through and wash away this kind of sudden increase of spirit activity trying to resist us. The beautiful thing about the Christian life is no matter how much resistance is thrown up, you keep walking. Do you remember? There's an illustration in the Bible too. Do you remember in Nazareth? There's a little obscure passage in the Bible where in Nazareth, at Luke 4, the people in Nazareth didn't like what Jesus was telling them and they grabbed him. This is right at the beginning of his ministry and dragged him to the head of a hill where they're going to throw him down the cliff. And I don't know, he must have allowed them to get him that far. But just as about to throw him down the cliff, he just walked straight through the crowd. They couldn't grab him. He just activated some other gift, and just despite all the fury of the crowd, he just walked through it. And I remember once stepping into a place, into a building here that was absolutely full of demons, and I had the word of the Lord on how to go there and break it and clean them out. And when I turned up and started walking up the stairs, they were so angry. And there was this huge crowd of demons that just rushed against me straight into my face. And I said, the anger of Satan is nothing. And I walked straight through the crowd of demons. They couldn't touch me. And this is what it's like for you and me. There's a lot of this stuff gets thrown up and the things that go on around us can look pretty nasty. But if you will hold your ground and believe, you will be able to walk through it. We're called to walk through it. However, there is also this word, the Lord will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of his mouth drives along. Why don't we stand together? We are going to pray this prayer together and ask the Lord to give us such a flood of the Holy Spirit as to wash through all our circumstances right now. This is not only my circumstances or the churches as a whole, but your families. The Spirit of the Lord washing through the families and knocking out of place some of that demonic resistance. Let's believe for it. It's a grace being offered to us today. Everybody, wherever you are, lift your voice in prayer. And Father, we make this our prayer today as the house of God, as the church of the Lord Jesus. I thank you for the breath of the Lord and the word of God. I thank you for the zeal of our Lord Jesus, who has dressed himself in the robe, in the weapons of righteousness and of holiness. And Lord, you've taken up zeal and vengeance, as the scripture says. Now let the presence of the Lord come. Let the Holy Spirit come. Bring in the presence of the Lord Jesus and wash all through our circumstances. Let the flood of the Lord come. We ask, O Lord, for this pent-up flood, which is the presence of God, to wash all through the circumstances of this church and of our lives, and carry away darkness and spirits and lies, resistance of the devil, everything that has been hidden and put in place against us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we break it. By the name of Christ, by the blood of Christ, we break it. In Jesus' name, the flood of the Holy Spirit washes through, washing it all away. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. We stand firm and remain. The enemy does not. Now we, in the name of Jesus, break the resistance of the enemy today and declare the liberty of the church, the freedom of the church, in your holy name. Hallelujah. Now let us begin to sing. Begin to sing. As we sing, if you'd like laying on of hands in prayer, feel free. Just come forward. And even if you have some other need, a need for healing, we'll pray for you today. Just tell us what your need is.